Hello, my name is Eric Lee, and I'm the founding editor of Labor Start, the news and campaigning website of the international trade union movement. And our guest today on Labor Start Podcasts is Marc Belanger. Marc is a Canadian trade unionist who has been active in the movement for at least a million years and is the founder of the Radio Labor website and service. Welcome to Labor Start Podcast, Marc.
Hi, Eric. Nice hearing from you again.
I wasn't exaggerating, right? We've worked together for at least 1,000 years, right?
I think 1,000 years, if you say 1995, when you did a seminar, a 6-week seminar on the system that I was running at the time. So 1995 in web years is 1,000.
Right, and of course, I was 12 years old then, which explains why I look so youthful.
No, I think you were 16. I was not allowed to talk to you until you were 16.
Okay, no, fair enough. So Mark, I'm going to ask you about a few things, including what activist podcasting means. But let's start, first of all, with Radio Labor itself. Just very briefly, tell us what Radio Labor is, what does it actually do, and most importantly, where does the money come from?
Radio Labor is the International Labor Movement's radio service. We can say that because we are funded by the International Labor Movement. We earn our income from the global unions. The global unions are international bodies which represent national union centers such as the AFL-CIO. We are also funded by the major unions in Canada. In that way, we do both an international world report, which comes out every Friday. That used to be that service used to be a daily thing. We've now just changed to a weekly. I can talk about that in a while. Meanwhile, though, we also do a Canadian report, so we do two reports now a week. Our income is about $40,000 a year, which I know. Beyonce gets more, Taylor Swift gets more, but I'm a labor educator. I've been doing this for 1,000 years. If somebody had said to me when I started, I would have the capability, the technology to talk to 40,000 people a year, I would have been a happy person. So I'm not at all sad that we're not at the Beyonce or Taylor Swift levels. What Radio Labor does is it provides a radio service. You can go on to our site every Friday now and get a 15-minute report, which includes a Labor Start report in its programming, and listen to it that way. But the major focus of Labor Start is to support the campaigns of unions. So, for instance, the global unions or the International Trade Union Confederation. That is where we get most of our listeners. We don't spend a lot of time building up our Twitter feeds or our Zoom audiences or all the rest of it because the distribution of radio labor programs is done by the organizations we work with. So if we do a story about an ITUC call for social justice, it's the ITUC that sends out the X's, and then the other organizations also send out. If you add up all of the, for instance, X community of all the global unions and national union centers, that's a lot of people. That is our distribution system.
And Mark, are you happy that number 40,000 to me actually sounds quite high. Are you happy with those numbers?
Oh, yeah. If somebody had said to me 40,000, but I don't control that, you see, it goes up and down. So I stopped, we stopped looking at our daily numbers 10 years ago because it was just, you could have gone crazy. I mean, well, it's Tuesday, we got 100 more people, or now it's Wednesday and now it's a drop. It doesn't work that way. That is the old way of radio programming. What we do is we do activist podcasting, which I'll talk about, and it generates an audience. So, for instance, at the beginning of the war in Ukraine, I did a program about the war and what the ITUC said called for a ceasefire. I didn't check the numbers, but I knew there was a big jump because people were sending me emails saying, "Yes, that makes sense. Thank you for doing this." And that's how we make our programming.
So why don't we go into what do you mean by activist podcasting? Explain.
That's what I was just talking about. If there is an issue that a labor organization is running on, an event such as a strike, or it's running a conference because of an issue such as social justice, we will then do a program about that by interviewing one of the people on the, in the other organization, in the union organization, and put it into our regular radio programming. But we also produce a separate web page for just that program. So it's not mixed up into the other programs of our 15-minute world report. We do a separate web page, and that is what the organization sends out as a link to its members, and it gets picked up. That's how we get our people.
Okay.
So activists, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask Mark. It sounds great. I'm wondering if, and you don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, but have you had any problems working with the global unions? Problems you can talk about?
Yeah, at the beginning, it was exactly like the problems you had when you started Labor Start. Because you and I, at the time, were not considered part of the official labor movement, people in trade unions can be very suspicious about people who are not allied or a member. If you call your podcast the rank and file, well, that's nice. You're representing the rank and file, but the top leadership of labor organizations have a lot to do, and they're not going to be trying to build up some independent thing called rank and file. What happened to Labor Start? It got attacked when you started your program in London, in England. There were people, and I remember it quite well, there were people attacking you for how dare you do this, and who are you, and why are you doing this? And then what is it now? Since 1995, you started this?
Started in
You've
1998, but close enough.
998. Now people have accepted it as not only a good service that you won a prize for the service that you provide. You not only provide a good service, but you are seen as part of the labor movement. I was able to pick up on that because you had gone ahead. You had cleared the stream for others, and so now Radio Labor is also seen as part of the labor movement. My advantage, of course, was that I was the head of the United Nations Labor Education Program, and I had a lot of contacts. So when I started the service, people didn't say who is Marc Belanger. Millions of people say who is Marc Belanger, but not the ones that I needed to help to start the service.
I should emphasize that. I mean, I've known you, Mark, for many years, and I've seen you wear the hats of a very senior figure in the largest union in Canada, where you introduced the internet to them, and also the hat of an international labor educator with contacts all over the world. So you really did have roots in the labor movement. With the top leadership of the movement had no problem with you personally. They knew you already before you started Radio Labor. But you said earlier, you said Radio Labor had been a daily format and now has moved to this weekly format, which you described. Why did you do that? Was it too much work to do the daily?
It was a lot of work. I mean, you get up at 6 o'clock, and you've got to find your news, and you've got to produce it and get it out. But that's work. I mean, welcome to the labor movement. Why we have changed from a daily, like Monday to Thursday, were 5-minute programs, and then the 15-minute world report, and then of course there was our Canadian report and all the other reports we were doing. We stopped doing that because we wanted to open up some workspace for ourselves for a particular project that we're pushing now, and that is English as an additional language for unionists. There are thousands, if not millions, of people in the international labor movement who don't speak English as their mother tongue. They're trying to learn English so they can participate in the international labor movement. But they can't find lessons that are specific to the labor movement. For instance, if you don't know how to speak English and you're in Mongolia and there's not a lot of English speaking unionists around, what do you do with the International Trade Union Confederation acronym? Is it called ITUC, ITUC? Or is it called ITUC? You don't know that until you've had a chance to talk about it. So we will. What we're doing is we're starting a service, or we're building up to start the service now. And We will be speaking in slow English using phraseology that is easier to understand, and then we'll be supplying the script with it so people can follow in the slow English about the labor movement. And there is also an English as an additional language teacher who will be producing lessons that people can then do after the program. In that way, I'm hoping that we will be able to help those people who are trying to learn English to get better involved in the international labor movement. But I'm also seeing it as an organizing tool. If there are millions of people out there trying to learn English, and the international labor movement is suddenly providing a service for them to how not only to learn English, but how to learn English in a trade union context, that is an organizing opportunity. They could then get involved in their unions. They could get involved in the national union or the international union. So it's a service. So we had opened up that space. We've done a program, and if you go on our site, which is www.radiolabor.net, labor with a U, just as in labor start, you'll see how we're doing that, and you will see 100 comments from people saying this is a good idea and we need this.
That's a fabulous initiative, and I'm wishing you the best. Look, we've done our bit to promote it. We'll promote it again if you need it to our large audience. Hopefully, I agree with you completely. When you meet trade unionists who can't communicate anything other than their mother tongue, and I include English speakers, they are at a disadvantage in the international labor movement.
Well,
Everywhere
let
else.
me thank you. Let me thank you immediately before you even go on. You, Labor Start, put out a message for us at the beginning of the start of this project, the organizing of it. We have been working for months to get people to talk about it and everything else. And then you sent out a Labor Start message to your mailing, to your list, and we got what, 200 people, 300 people replying. I know that's not a lot, but it's this very specific program we're talking about here. If you go on the Radio Labor site, you'll see comments from people who are saying, I'm trying to learn English, and this is an opportunity, and we want it. So Labor Start really helped us a lot.
No problem, and I'll send you a bill, Mark.
Yeah, but that's the end of my sucking up.
No, you did well. Look,
Thanks.
the last bit. We don't have that much more time, but let's talk finally. You now that you've had quite a few years now. But by the way, when did Radio Labor actually start broadcasting? What year was that?
2010. So we're 13 years old. 13 years old in podcasting years is about a million years
Yes,
because
exactly. So
usually they last for a week or two and people say, oh, it's a lot of work.
it's a lot of work. And Mark, so you have a lot of experience. So what advice do you have to people who want to begin, trade unionists, unions that want to begin podcasting? What's your advice?
There are all kinds of almost free or free pieces of software that allow you to do very sophisticated audio. My suggestion, if you have any money, is the first thing you should spend on is your microphone, because that's how people hear you. But also, I think people should pick up maybe on what activist podcasting can do in their region. So let's say there's an organization, the Labor Council in Los Angeles, it puts out has an issue. So voluntarily produce a program, put it on a separate web page, send an email to the organizers of the event and say, we're supporting your event by doing this. And that's it. Just act as you're supporting. Then in 6 months or whatever, when you do your recruiting for money, you send them a message saying, this is what we do. The other thing that podcasters can do is they're always desperate, as we are, for good content. There's huge amount of good content on the internet for labor, but it has to be edited. It has to be curated. I often will have a really, really good program because I've sat through an hour session, finally got to the trade unionist, recorded her and her comments, and then used it as a separate program without all the rest of it, and that produces my program. So if you're doing something local, you report on local, and you also pick up something from the net on international or national. I mean, the AFL-CIO puts out videos all the time. The really good service in the United States is put out by the Solidarity Center. It is the AFL-CIO affiliated body that pays attention to international affairs. It does videos all the time. Pick up the audio. You know, give some more exciting audio to your podcast by picking up because it's free. But be careful. Sometimes these organizations will use music, and that music is owned by not the artist, but the company. So if you want to do so, I make it up, but let's say you want to put Pete Seeger on as your opening closing music. Well, Pete Seeger's dead, and his song is owned by a company. Now that company, because it's Pete Seeger, might not attack you. But if you picked up a Beyonce "We Support Union" song, they're going to call, and you're going to get into trouble. So you just pick up the free stuff and the stuff from the labor movement that you trust.
Mark, do you know how many messages I'm going to get now? Ask me, what is that Beyonce pro-union song you were talking about?
Oh, I have an idea. No, that's another problem. What I just finished doing before I was working on this was creating the labor movement's first AI seminar.
Okay.
Sorry, I was just looking for the script, but I can't find it. What I did was I used artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, to create the labor movement's first song, and it's weird. It's created by artificial intelligence, which I call computer intelligence, and it actually talks about solidarity and fighting on picket lines and all the rest of it.
That's
You can do a song.
Plagiarizing material has already been written. That's why it does that. But
yeah,
anyway,
but what's going to...
We will cover AI in another interview. Mark, this has been
my
absolutely
concern with AI is that right now it's feeding off of human created content. So it's
yes.
going to pick up stuff like picket lines and solidarity and all the rest of it. But what happens when they run out of human created content and the computer systems start making up their own stories, their own songs from their own experiences, if you want to call it that? That's going to be fun, but I'm not going to be around.
But
You
we
will,
already have
as
things like
young.
That. We call them politicians. Anyway,
Oh, right. Yeah, but you're in England. You
we'll
have
just
some
make
weird.
stuff up. So, Mark, thank you very much for a very interesting interview and also for very good pointers for people who want to get into podcasting. People who want to visit, and you all should visit Radio Labor. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, it's radiolabor.net, right?
That's right.
That's right. Okay, thank you, Mark. And we will end it here.